This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to this week's edition of Joy's very own show about pets. I'm Kevin from the Lost Dogs Home and here by myself this week, but it is a very special week on Pets Allowed. Not only is today World Animal Day, it's also our 1 year anniversary of the show. It's been such a fantastic year, so we thought today we'd recap some of our favourite moments from the last 12 months. Now we've headed north to Arnhem Land, overseas to Nepal, explored the benefits of therapy dogs, dog sports, seeing your pets and more. There's been plenty that we've been covering in the last year and are going to continue to cover over the next year. But this celebration is not all about us. We want to thank you for your support and input over our first year and continued support for the next year. So coming up on the Pets Allowed birthday special today, I will be replaying some of the best bits from the last 12 months. We'll head north to Arnhem Land, hear from Caroline Cook of the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic about her time that she spent there. Nicole Beasley will take us through her time in Nepal and the street dogs she met whilst travelling. We'll hear from Cass Speedy about her gorgeous therapy dog Teddy and recap some dog sports and great training tips. So make sure you stick around, stay right here, because after We Live for Love from Pat Benatar, we're going to have our Pet of the Week and the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9 on air and online at joy.org.au.
I'm Kevin and I'm taking you through this show today. Some of the best bits from the last 12 months of the show. It is now time for the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap and to recap the events of last week. At the Lost Dogs Home, we believe that the best way to get a child active is to pair them up with a four-legged playmate. We've got some special tips online on our website to sort of get you kids and your pets to stay happy. You can walk, run, chase. So spring is the perfect time to venture out into the great outdoors with your dog. It is crucial to ensure that your dog is walked on a daily basis. But, you know, with the warmer weather on the way, get out there to get to the park, play ball, that kind of stuff. We also have a couple of really great DIY projects on the website as well. So rope toys for the dogs, fishing poles for the cat at doghome.com. You can also, you know, if you're thinking about it, you can make one of those and bring it down to the shelter, make a couple. We'll bring them down to the shelter. Our dogs and our cats will love them as well. Now, there are some great places to take your pets. So Altona Dog Beach, which is in Altona Road, Altona, or Clayton Reserve, just down the road from us on Gracie Street in North Melbourne. It is a fully covered in park, fully fenced park, where you can come down and check out your pet as well. Now, today is World Animal Day, so Edgar's Mission is proudly presenting World Animal Day 2013 at Fed Square in Melbourne. They have a daytime festival from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. today at the River Terrace at Fed Square. I have a few stallholders from a broad range of animal welfare and conservation groups. So you can find out more about how you can help animals, meet some of the animals from Edgar's Mission, and see how smart pigs really are, because pigs are actually quite smart animals. You can have a cruelty-free snack or meal at the vegan sausage sizzle, bruschetta bar and bake sale. Now, they're also saying that anyone that comes dressed as an animal will receive a free vegan sausage, so it might be time to break out your onesies, head down to the Fed Square. But if not, you might want to head to the World Animal Day Evening of Kindness tonight, which is from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Deakin Edge in North Melbourne. Fed Square as well. There'll be music from 5 p.m. by Vegan Smythe and Vic Meehan, Edgar's Mission Art Exhibition, Light Nibbles and a Cash Bar. From 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m, a panel discussion, Is Caring for Animals Still a Radical Pursuit? It's got Pam Ahern, World Animal Day Ambassador, philanthropist Phil Wallen, OAM, Australian cricket champion Peter Siddle, and barista and former Victorian Commissioner for Equal Opportunity, Moira Rayner. You can check that out on the Edgar's Mission website. I think it's edgarsmission.org.au, but you can go to Google, find that one there. Now, every week on Pets Allowed, and this one is no different, we like to feature a very special guest in our Pet of the Week. Now, this week's Pet of the Week is the lovely...
This week's Pet of the Week.
Gorgeous Toffee. Now, Toffee is a tortoiseshell cat. She's 11 months old at our North Melbourne shelter. She loves pats. She's an absolute sweetheart. She's very fond of getting a good scratch behind the ears and will respond with a non-stop purr when you're obliged. She also happily is a lap cat, so she'll, you know, hang around you, that kind of stuff. But she will need to go to a single cat householder. She's not a big fan of other cats, but she definitely loves to play. So check her out on the Lost Dogs Home website, which is dogshome.com. She's our North Melbourne shelter, 2 Gracie Street in North Melbourne. And you can find her animal ID, which is 943573. Now, coming up, we're going to cover the best bits of Pets Allowed from the last 12 months. It is our Pets Allowed birthday special from Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. And I'm taking you through the program today. It is our very first birthday special. We just received a message in from Anastasia, and she said her dog V loves to cuddle up with her when she feels sad. That's great. Pets have such a great empathy for that as well. Now, it is our first birthday celebration, so we're covering the best bits from the last 12 months. Early in the year, we chatted with Dr. Caroline Cook of the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic about her time spent working up in Arnhem Land. Now, she spent a whole show with us, so if you want to hear that, you can go online and check out our podcast. But this here is her first impressions of Arnhem Land when she went up there for the first time.
You've not only worked as a vet here in Melbourne, you've participated in a dissexing program in Guatemala, I think it was, and spent some time with regional communities in northeast India, and recently 2 weeks in Arnhem Land. What took you to the top end?
Well, Alan, I was really fortunate enough to have last year off, adventure travelling around Australia in a four-wheel drive. It was awesome.
Except when you joined Reggie on the Queensland tour.
Oh, that's true. I did do a little bit of work here and there. But another highlight was actually going up and visiting one of my close friends with whom I went through vet school, Dr. Emma Kennedy. And she lives in Arnhem Land and works there providing veterinary services to remote Aboriginal communities. And by remote, I don't think I realised how remote it actually is up there. And, you know, some of the only ways you can access these communities is flying in by light plane, because there is no road access for half the year during the wet season.
Now, for the benefit of our listener who might not have been there, can you just tell us, what was your first impressions of Arnhem Land? What was it like?
Well, I'll never forget the first day driving in, because it's a hell of a drive. We'd heard stories that it was a really difficult and dangerous road to travel on. It was 700 kilometres of really rough dirt road, and there were numerous rivers that we had to cross that we knew there may have been crocs in. So we had to be very careful there. And you know, there were even just herds of wild buffalo roaming around.
Oh, wow.
That we'd been told to be careful of, because if you get out of the car, they can come charging at you, and people have actually died by such a means, believe it or not.
Were you camping, or
because my friend Emma, Dr. Emma Kennedy, told us to not camp. It's too dangerous. You have to drive, you know, in one journey in, which is turned out to be a 14-hour drive. We started at 4:30 in the morning, and we had 2 flat tires, and you know, that took a number of those hours up. And we were driving the last 200 kilometres in the dark with no spare tyre, so it was really quite a challenge. And I'll never forget Arnhem Land and its inaccessibility.
How do you get a new tyre up there?
Sorry? Take a few spares, possibly.
We carried 2 spares with us, mm-hmm. which we thought would be adequate, but when we blew the second one, we were really, you know, freaking out.
So what happened?
We just had to keep driving. And I mean, you know, we'd heard all these stories about what you can do in that situation. Like, you can stuff the tyre that's ruined with all your clothes and then just try and drive on it that way. But fortunately, it didn't come to that.
On Mythbusters last night, they looked at putting fire in the middle mm-hmm. and that would sort of inflame, mm-hmm. you know, and add oxygen. But it's not the safest way.
If you have those types of tyres, but we had a different type of tyre that wouldn't work with.
Dr. Caroline Cook from the Lost Dogs Home Veterinary Clinic talking about her time spent up in Arnhem Land. Now, if you want to hear the full interview, check it out online at joy.org.au/petsallowed.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station. Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is our first birthday special. It is Kevin here from the Lost Dogs Home. And I got an email in from Leah who said, "Hi, Pets Allowed. Happy first birthday. Meet my funny little girl, Coco. She makes me laugh every day and I don't know what I'd do without her. She was saved from a breeder and she's adjusted to life in the big city well. She loves napping in the sun and chicken necks. Thank you, Leah." And the picture was wonderful. She is so very cute. Now, continuing on the travel theme, Nicole Beasley took us through her time in Nepal and the street dogs that she met over there.
You've had quite a bit of experience in Nepal. What was your first experience like there?
Nepal is an amazing country. It's a country of real contradictions. When I first arrived in Kathmandu, I actually thought that I'd arrived in hell. It's a country that's recovering from civil war. Basically, when you take the taxi ride from Kathmandu Airport into the city, there's no footpaths. There's open sewers, there's little shop fronts that people are living in, but they're right on the street. So crazy traffic, street children. It just, it was a bit like a scene from a war zone. The dogs just live amongst it. They just basically live, you know, they sleep in the middle of the road or sleep on the street or wandering around looking for scraps of food. That was my very first impression of Nepal, but it only took, you know, less than 10 hours, I think, to become fully immersed in the absolute beauty of that country.
What's the culture like over there?
Amazing, amazing. Because when you think Buddha was born in Nepal, 500 BC, so there's an amazing culture there. There's an amazing mix of religions in Nepal, sacred sites. The beauty of the country really is in the natural beauty. They have the Himalayas, of course. So you see these mountains and you look at the mountain and you think, I've seen the whole mountain. And then you look higher than the cloud and you see the top of the mountain. It's amazing. And then the other part of the country is another contrast again, because that's jungle. Ah. And that was our reason for going to Nepal. We wanted to go to Chitwan National Park, home to the one-horn rhino.
And now you've been back to Nepal. What brought you back?
The dogs. The dogs brought me back. We were in Chitwan. We stayed in a little village called Soraha. And of course, we spent lots of time in the jungle filming the wild animals, but I probably spent more time outside filming the dogs that were just living in amongst the community, because it was just amazing to watch packs of dogs and to watch one particular dog who was the boss dog, the alpha bitch, and how she would control all of these dogs. And also to get to know the nature of the dogs. They are dogs that are suffering mange. Distemper is prevalent in Nepal. They still have rabies, fleas, but their temperaments are just beautiful.
When you went back, you became aware of an organisation known as Street Dog Care. How did you find them first?
Well, when we were over there, I was drawn to the dogs because I'm a dog lover first and foremost. And actually, on my first trip, I was almost feeling guilty for feeling that way, because I'm looking around thinking, look at these people, you know, they are living in such poor situation, yet they're so resilient and happy about it. How can I be worried about the dogs? I need to be worried about the, you know, the kids living on the street. And then when I got time to go home and process, I thought, we need to figure out how we can help the dogs, because that's what I do back here. I've got a great network of people that can help. So I just researched online groups that were working in Nepal, and that's how I came across Street Dog Care.
When you went over there the second time, you met up with Andrea, who runs Street Dog
Care.
Yes. What was it like to meet this person who's doing so much for dogs over in Nepal?
It was great. It was really, really lovely to meet her, because Andrea is just so normal, and she's just a person who's seen a problem and done something about it. So she's working right at the grassroots. So she actually arrived in Nepal as a tourist way to Australia. She's German. And saw the street dog problem and decided to set up a vaccination camp for the dogs in the Kathmandu Valley. Because in the Kathmandu Valley alone, there's 25,000 dogs living on the street.
How much space is that, the valley?
It's tiny. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a tiny little area.
25,000 dogs in one small area.
Yes.
But so yet they all live calmly.
They do, because they sort themselves out. They're allowed to be dogs. Andrea started a street dog camp, so she got a local vet and some vets from Germany to come over, and every Saturday they'd meet at the Buddha Stupa, which is a big landmark in an area of Nepal, and they would have people bring the dogs to them. They'd vaccinate them, de-sex them, and this went on for a year or so, and then she was gifted some land. So when we think of being gifted land here, you think, how lovely, somebody's given a bequest and we'll just get contractors in to build something.
Yeah.
Andrea was so grateful for this land that she was gifted, but literally it's kind of in the middle of a garbage dump. And she's built this dog centre up by actually going out and physically buying each brick herself and being involved in the building of it. Every little step has just taken hard work, sponsors, volunteers going over there and building the centre.
So do they get any government funding or anything like that?
No, it's all from... No, it's absolutely 100% volunteer run.
This is Pets Aloud with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. You're currently on the Pets Aloud first birthday special. We are looking back at some of the very special moments of the last year. Now, I've had a couple of emails and messages in. Blair says he has loved and enjoyed taking his two cavoodles out to Gels Park during the holidays. Thank you, Blair. And Kerry said, good afternoon, as always, I'm enjoying your show. Our little Chloe is a mini dash hound and will be turning 16 in December. She was bought for her partner's Christmas present and she's been their gorgeous daughter ever since. She's now gone deaf and losing her sight gradually, and they're getting into the mindset that she may not be around for much longer. It'll be very hard, and I can understand that absolutely will be quite difficult when that happens. But in saying that, she is still quite active and occasionally will get a burst of energy and have a bit of energetic play. Over her life, she's not really cost them that much, although they did have to take her to the animal hospital in Essendon Fields a couple of times, who are amazing. They have nothing but the highest of praise for the staff there. Now, that is actually Animal Accident and Emergency. Now, one of my favourite topics that we talk about on Pets Aloud is always training and things that you and your dog can do together. It's something we talk about often, including my favourite sport, dances with dogs. Now, Jeanette, who adopted the lovely Scarlet from the home a couple of years ago, joined us on the line to chat about her dog, adopted dog Scarlet, and some of the successes that she has had with dancing with dogs.
I wasn't actually looking for another dog, Kevin. I was looking on the Lost Dogs Home website, as you do, and I saw this great-looking little face. She looked really, really sweet. Her name was Matilda. I went in, and 4 hours later, she was mine. She's just beautiful.
And what kind of dog is Scarlet?
She's actually a Border Collie, Cavalier, Coolie, and Dalmatian cross. So I have no idea of how that happened, but I did have her DNA tested.
Scarlet is quite the sporty dog. She, you know, she does her obedience and things like that, but one of the sports that she really excels in is dances with dogs. So tell us, what is dances with dogs and how did you get involved?
Well, firstly, how I got involved was that with my other dog, we visit nursing homes as pet therapy. I wanted to do something that was interesting for the residents, and you know, dances with dogs is really fun to watch. So I've been doing it for about 18 months before I got Miss Scarlet. I decided that as soon as I got her, that she started doing it. She was really, really nimble and really, really great. What it is, Kevin, it's obedience and trick, and then you just put it to some music and then dance around and have a great time and get really, really fit with your dog.
So it's not doing the cha-cha or the mumbo or anything like that at all?
No, no. It looks really easy if you're watching it, but it actually takes quite a bit of work to get the focus and the relationship between you and your dog. And it's all choreographed to the beat of some music that you've chosen.
So, Janet, tell us, what do you really love most about dancing, both with Scarlet and, yeah, Bingo, your cavalier?
Oh, look, Kevin, it's great fun. It's a great way of getting a terrific relationship going with your dog. You can get out there, get really fit. There's never any excuse to sit around and say, I've got nothing to do, it's hot or cold outside. You can just move your furniture around inside the house and get going. Put the music on, put the radio on, and just dance around to whatever there is. And your dogs love it. It's so fantastic. It can be inside or outside, but I mostly do it inside. Even competitions are mostly inside.
What's been your favourite routine so far?
Really easy thing to say. About last year, I did a routine with Miss Scarlet, and it's KT Tunstall singing Suddenly I See. And the music in there is about suddenly she sees this woman, this other person, and she's got a lovely face and everybody loves her and she's got a halo of light about her. And suddenly I see that this is the person I'd like to be. And that's exactly what I feel with Miss Scarlet. She has such a gorgeous temperament and a beautiful look about her. And we did this routine and Miss Scarlet achieved the highest score ever achieved in Dances with Dogs in Victoria.
Congratulations.
It was just the right music and the right feel.
So how can people get involved if they want to get involved with Dances with Dogs? What would be the best way to start?
Go onto your computer and search on either Dances with Dogs Club Victoria or Melbourne Canine Freestyle, which is the group that I belong to, the Melbourne Canine Freestyle. It's really easy to get in touch, and they have classes at various locations around Victoria and lots of different times. I recommend it to anyone who wants to have a really fun relationship with their dog. It's great.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9, Pets Allowed Birthday Special. Now, pets can be our companions, but for some, they can also be the best therapy. We got up with Cass from our North Melbourne shelter a couple of weeks ago to chat about her therapy dog, Teddy, and their experiences providing therapy to people in hospitals. On Pets Allowed today, we are talking all about dogs in a therapy context. So Cass has worked at the home for 10 years and is also our resident photographer of all the cats and dogs at the North Melbourne shelter. Today, we're going to be talking about her dog, Teddy, who spent years providing therapy to patients in hospitals. Now, Cass, what made you decide that therapy work was something you wanted to undertake with Teddy?
Teddy was such a happy, bubbly, outgoing little dog that I wanted to share that happiness with other people and cheer up people who needed it and bring them some joy.
It does take a special kind of dog to be a therapy dog. What was involved with Teddy in getting him to be up to that sort of stage?
Teddy had to be between 18 months of age and under 10. He also had to have a basic obedience training, had to walk nicely on lead. He had to come when called, and was able to sit when asked. People coming up to pat him, he had to be able to put up with gentle or heavy patting and accept any pat or cuddle from a stranger. He also had to be able to walk past a dog and show no aggression towards that other dog or no passing interest. And he had to be able to be held by a stranger at any time and walk through a hospital corridor beside wheelchairs and crutches.
How long did it take to sort of train Teddy up to this stage?
It really didn't take Teddy very long at all because he was such, as I said, a happy little dog and happy to go anywhere, go to anybody, and such an outgoing little dog.
What are some of the benefits that you saw working with Teddy in these sort of therapy situations?
There was one patient that we would visit weekly who was a very quiet gentleman. He loved Teddy to sit, have Teddy sit on his lap. But this gentleman had not talked for a very long time. Teddy would quietly sit on his lap with this gentleman patting him, and eventually, after a couple of weeks, this gentleman started talking to Teddy, only to Teddy, and greeting him with a hello, Teddy.
What about for Teddy's benefit? How did it sort of develop and change him as a pet?
In the sense that Teddy was very sensitive to the patient's needs. If someone wanted to pat and play with him, he'd be bubbly and happy to play. If someone was quiet, like the gentleman that I spoke about, and just have them sit on their laps and give them pats, he would just sit there quietly. And he was such a sensitive little dog to be able to feel the needs of the patients.
Now, if people out there, if our Joy listeners want to get involved in training their dog to be a therapy dog, what would be the first step, do you think?
First of all, have basic obedience training for the dog and have the dog walk nicely on lead and be an outgoing dog, happy to be cuddled by other people, new people, and go into new situations. Our therapy was through Delta Society Therapy Dogs, and there is a Victorian branch that can be contacted.
You can find more about becoming you and your pet becoming a therapy team at deltasociety.com.au. This is the Pets Allowed Birthday Special. I am Kevin, and you... Yes, as you can hear, my studio has just been invaded by the whole team with a lovely...
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.